Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last June, the percentage of teachers receiving tenure dropped from almost everyone receiving it, 97%, to about half of them receiving it, 57%. That doesn't mean the rest won't earn it someday. We hope most will. We have a big investment in them. But we are raising the bar for teachers just as we are for students.
Mayor Bloomberg from his second-to-last State of the City speech yesterday. And as you could tell from that, he's making news mostly for getting in the face of the teachers' union. The biggest thing is the proposal that we played the soundbite of before the news for a $20,000 merit pay raise for any teacher rated highly effective 2 years in a row. Teachers, at least the union leadership, does not like that idea. So let's talk about that and more with WNYC's education reporter, Beth Fertig. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
On the clip we just heard, did they really knock down granting tenure from 97% of those who applied, which I think happens at the end of 3 years of full-time teaching, down to about half?
Yeah, they did, but that doesn't mean they're not going to get tenure. It just means they delay the decision by another year. Overall, very few teachers get unsatisfactory ratings and are dismissed. It's just that under Bloomberg, what they're doing is they're taking longer to grant tenure. And that's something that frustrates the mayor because he says, we could delay the tenure, but it's still too hard to dismiss, quote, the bad teachers, you know, that everyone points their fingers at.
So in pursuit of keeping good teachers, he's got this bonus proposal. Another $20,000, and we should say this is not just a bonus. This is $20,000 added to your base salary that you get for the rest of your career under the proposal, right?
If you get two highly effective ratings in a row.
2 years in a row.
2 years worth in a row, which depends on having this new teacher evaluation system that the city has yet to negotiate with the union. They're at an impasse over that, which is what's cost the city already $58 million in aid for 33 struggling schools. And we could talk about that later. If they don't agree on the evaluation system by, you know, the summer, they also stand to lose hundreds of millions more in federal Race to the Top grants because the state and its unions promised that they would come up with evaluation systems, but they just can't seem to do it.
So currently there is no highly effective rating. It's just satisfactory, unsatisfactory?
Right. The system that the state and the unions pledged to create would be from ineffective to developing to effective to highly effective, four different ratings that a teacher could get. And those ratings would depend on 60% classroom observations and student work, and then another 40% on test scores. And statewide, the state teachers union objects to that because they say there's too much given to the test scores. Locally in New York City, where the city would use a combination of state tests and other exams, the real sticking point seems to be, would there be a new appeals process for teachers who get a bad rating from their principals? And the mayor says the teachers union is, you know, stalling by calling for this new appeals process that doesn't exist right now. There is an appeals process, but they want a different appeals process. And the union is saying, well, we just want to make sure that it's fair. So it's gone nowhere. And that's why, you know, you can say that I would like to give teachers who get highly effective 2 years in a row a raise. But right now, the union won't even agree to that rating system. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, the whole plan, merit pay, it's dead in the water as far as the union's concerned.
So let's frame this as a challenge to teachers for a call-in right now. I know we always have some teachers listening to the show, even though it's school hours, some of you on your prep periods, some of you might be homesick today. Teachers, you tend to say you want to be treated as professionals. Well, doctors rank the best, charge more for their work. They don't take insurance, things like that. Lawyers rank the best, charge more. Architects and designers, choose your professional. Teachers, call us up. Can you demand professional status and then ask to be paid like assembly line workers or civil service clerks, everybody the same? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Teachers, let's get a sense. I wonder if this is going to divide up by age. Are younger teachers going to want this opportunity and older teachers think that this is some kind of scam on the part of the city? Let's hear from you, teachers. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Will the rank and file be divided by this proposal between those who think you are the highly effective teachers who are going to get those raises if this system is implemented and those who maybe do not? Is that how this is going to break down? Let's hear some of your voices and you tell us. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 with our education reporter, Beth Fertig. Beth, I saw Chancellor Walcott on New York One last night say they could earn this merit raise every 2 years. So if you keep being ranked highly effective, you could make $100,000 a year more in a decade. And by the way, that might be $100,000 more than the teacher in the next classroom.
It's a very difficult issue for a union because the union collectively bargains for its members and doesn't want to pit them against each other. And in a situation like this, and this is why these merit pay is so fraught with problems and why the union in New York City has rejected it over the years, it's because you could potentially have a system in which a teacher in one classroom gets these highly effective ratings and another doesn't. And maybe that's not really because of merit. Maybe it's because the principal is trying to get rid of somebody, or you're going to create a poisonous atmosphere in which teachers are competing against each other instead of teamwork. And that's why the union did agree a few years ago to a system of bonuses that are school-wide. But then that didn't work. Studies found that it didn't raise student achievement, and the city canceled the bonus program last year, which is why Michael Mulgrew, the president of the teachers union, when this came out yesterday, he said, basically, ha ha, you guys, you tried the bonus thing and it didn't make any difference. Why are you trying this now? But I will say that there is kind of a growing interest in this issue of giving merit pay to teachers as a retention tool, because districts are finding that it's hard to keep young, good teachers or anybody who's going to stay in this profession because it's very challenging. It's difficult. They want to raise families. They're going to go elsewhere. It's a hard job. So Washington, D.C. has a similar type of system where they could get an extra $20,000 after 2 years of high ratings. Different situation there. A few other districts have tried it. And there are some academics who say, well, we don't really have any proof that this works, but maybe with the right type of evaluation tool, it could work. So the jury's out on it.
Scott in Queens, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You're a teacher?
Yep.
And what do you think?
I think that the concept of merit pay on its face isn't a bad idea, but the problem is the way that they're making the evaluations of teachers for merit pay. It encourages cheating, and we've seen this in places like Atlanta and Pennsylvania when there's big teaching or cheating scandals.
Right. In other words, it's cheating on the standardized tests, and that teachers contribute to that in these cases because they know they're being rated. But if – I mean, you could take that excuse and say – or that argument and say it's an excuse that anybody who's rated on anything would have incentive to fudge the results in their favor if they can, but that doesn't mean you don't evaluate.
I think that's true, but you use the examples of doctors and lawyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, every doctor in New York City, or nearly every doctor in New York City, isn't employed by the same city agency.
Right.
And rated on the same scale, which is fraught with problems. I mean, it's not a secret how many problems there are with the state tests.
Scott, thank you very much. In fact, here's the mayor again from State of the City talking about a conflict over this evaluation system that Beth mentioned before that he wanted to try for teachers at 33 low-performing schools. So it was going to be a test run specifically for teachers at 33 low-performing schools.
A real evaluation system that is based on measurable improvement in student performance and principal assessment and allows us to make real changes is the only ways that we can do that. Now, we have a model that works well in deciding tenure, and this should be the basis for a similar process. But when we tried to get approval for just such a system for just 33 struggling schools, 33 out of 1,700, the UFT insisted on provisions that would make it even harder to remove ineffective teachers. Not easier, but harder. We're supposed to be going in the other direction, folks. As a result, those 33 schools have just lost $58 million in school improvement grants from the state.
So now he's proposing to get around the union entirely for those 33 schools like this.
Under a school turnaround program already authorized by federal and state law and consistent with the provision of the existing New York City UFT contract, the city can form school-based committees to evaluate teachers on merit and replace up to 50% of the faculty if it is merited.
So the union, Beth, must have hated that one, too, because he's saying federal and state laws are already in place that would allow the mayor to bypass the union altogether for an evaluation system, but just at these 33 schools?
The union says it's not allowed. They differ with him and say it's just not legal. The state, as I said, withheld the money because there was no evaluation system in place, which would be a trial run of what would go citywide later this year. And so the mayor is now saying, okay, I can scrap that because there's another system for turning around struggling schools, which would also qualify for this federal money that the state distributes, and I'm going to try that. And it would require replacing principals in some cases, but also up to half the teachers at these 33 schools. And there would have to be school-based committees. So there would be a union representative involved. It doesn't completely bypass the union. There would have to be committees. But the union is saying that still doesn't cut the mustard with what the federal government wants to get these grants. And you're just being ridiculous. It's not going to work. The city sent a letter to the state education department yesterday outlining its plans. We don't know if it's going to work until the state responds. But I will say it's a very complicated plan because it requires the city to literally close and reopen these schools and to do so by September if they're going to keep getting the money, which is a complicated thing. They have to have public hearings. They have to put out notices, all that type of stuff. And it's not even the same 33 schools that they were originally talking about. They would keep 27 of them getting the aid, but they've decided to throw out 6 of them and replace them with another 6. It's very hard. You know, I can't imagine how this would work. You know, if they have a lot of lawyers working on this and they dot all their I's and cross all their T's, yeah, perhaps it could happen. But the union's saying no, it's not going to fly.
Linnell in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linnell.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Your teacher?
Yes, I am.
You want to go for
school, Queens?
You want to go for that raise?
It's nice, and I agree. It's a nice idea, but I agree with one of the previous callers where they said that it's a nice idea on face value, and also that when you put it into practice, I don't know if it can be – it's something right now that can be applied fairly. I teach in a very low-income neighborhood, a school that – was a few years ago classified as a consistently underperforming school. And what I found in my school and other schools in talking to my colleagues, that a lot of times principals are classifying, they're loading down classes with maybe kids that have behavior problems, kids that speak English as a second language, kids that have learning disabilities.
And supposedly you would be ranked or rated, based on the population that you're dealing with, the hand that you're dealt.
Right. Whereas there might be another teacher teaching next door to you that has a class that's full of high-performing students. So how can you fairly compare those two teachers? Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened to me. Another thing, that they started a rating system that wasn't accurately representing your results as a teacher, because I found when I was given my rating that I was rated on the performance of 14 students when I had a class of 25 students. So what happened to the other students in my class?
Linnell, thank you very much. Austin in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Austin.
Hi. I'm a teacher at the ninth grade in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. You want to go for that raise?
My comment is sort of echoing what the last caller said. I think I have no problem with merit pay, but I think the real issue is defining what exactly merit is. Is it test scores? Is it just their grades? Is it amount of credits accrued? Because like she said, it's hard to tell which students you're responsible for and which you aren't. Like, for example, if I have a student who shows up maybe one day per semester and they fail the class, why is it fair that I'm held accountable for that? If I call their house, if I tell the administration and they never show up, it's not fair that that reflects merit of the mm-hmm. teacher.
Thank you for your call, Austin. And Beth, you know, we could take the same call all day because every teacher who's calling in is saying basically the same thing. Good in theory, wouldn't work in practice. They wouldn't be for it. And they're skeptical about the evaluation systems and being able to compare apples to apples when you have different classes of kids. So teachers and parents and principals and anyone else, keep posting on this on our education website, schoolbook.org. You can go and leave your comments. That's our collaborative education website with the New York Times, schoolbook.org. We also have another question up there, education-related, that we'll be diving into later in the show with Martin Luther King Day coming up on Sunday. What would it mean for you for education to be a civil right? In 1954, it meant ending segregation with Brown versus Board of Education. What does it mean today? Go to schoolbook.org. We have a comments page there. Post your response to the question, what would it mean for education to be a civil right in the year 2012? Go to schoolbook.org. And in about an hour, we'll have a call-in on the show specifically for African-American parents answering the question, what would it mean for education to be a civil right in 2012? So do it on schoolbook.org right now. We'll do it on the show in about an hour. Beth Furtick, before you go, a couple of other things on the education proposals and the State of the City address yesterday. One, just before we get off the merit pay, the principals of schools now have control over their budgets to a much larger degree than in the past, which means they have responsibility for their budgets. They're given sort of a lump sum from the city.
Well, they would argue they get very little discretionary money.
Right. But with the discretionary money that they have, would they find themselves in the position of having to choose between giving teachers these $20,000 highly effective raises, which would then presumably come out of their budgets, or would they rather spend that other $20,000 on an arts program or whatever it is that they do have discretion for? I could see where it would put principals in a very difficult position.
Yeah, teachers have been complaining for a while that the system is set up so that it's harder to keep a more expensive teacher because the principal's going to have an incentive to not want that. For a while, the city would hold those schools harmless and make up the difference in the funding, but it hasn't been doing that as much now. So we'd have to see, you know, presuming this ever went anywhere, if the city would come up with some proposal to level the playing field so the budgets, you know, aren't affected in such a way that a principal would not want to give out a bonus like this. But like I said, it's all theoretical right now.
You're
since the union is declaring it's
dead
in the water. Yeah.
One other proposal, and there are various other ones. We should note that half the speech was on education because the mayor wants this to be his legacy.
He's always wanted this to be his legacy.
He gave it at a school in the Bronx that has a higher graduation rate by far, as he touted it, than when he took over Morris High School.
There's four new schools in the building that started opening actually before he took office. They were in the works. And yes, those four new schools have higher graduation rates than the failing school that they replaced. But a lot of people, teachers, parents, and others would point out that overall, those failing schools tend to have fewer of the hardest to educate special education students. Sometimes they tend to get more homeless students. You can't do an apples and apples comparison always with these schools when some replace others. And that's a debate that's going on right now. It's interesting that he chose to do the speech at a school like that because the city is now planning to shut down another 19 schools this year. On February 9th, there's going to be a vote on that they say are failing and that they should replace with new schools. And they also want to eliminate the middle grades at six other schools that they say are failing.
Right.
And the teachers union has sued over this in the past and lost. It's a very contentious issue.
This one other proposal for the city to pick up $25,000 of your student loan if you graduate in the top 25% of your class and you become a New York City teacher for a certain length of time. Did the union have a reaction to that?
Yeah, they liked that. They said, sure, we'd be willing to talk about that.
Because that's aimed at the problem of attracting the best and brightest to teachers. So many leave after a few years, so retention is a big issue there.
Yeah. And all that has to be negotiated, though, so that's a carrot. But then the mayor also wants the sticks.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Keep posting your comments on this to our education website, the one we're doing in collaboration with the New York Times, schoolbook.org. We have more from the State of the City coming up in just a minute.